Good morning. Again. Well, today's a little bit different. Surprise, surprise. It's different. It's 2020. Welcome to another change. No, I'm excited about this morning because I believe the Lord has a word for us today that's really important for us as we're coming back here into the building. And so, if you're just joining us online, if you've just started coming in, you realize this is a little bit different. Did I miss worship this morning? No, you haven't missed it. We just haven't had it yet. We just started. We had one song, and I'm thankful for that. But we're going to have a time of worship at the end of this. But I have a message for you before we go into it that I think is important for us as the people of God here at our Father's house. As we are re-entering our building, we're re-entering opportunities for us to be gathered together in the presence of the Lord and lifting Him up. It is an important thing that we do as we come together, as we assemble together in person. I recognize not everybody's able to do that yet, but for those of us that are able to, there's an important aspect of it. And even for us that are virtual and we're online still, connecting with one another as we are relationally connected, whether we're here in this building or we're spread out in our homes, God's connecting us by our spirit in these moments when we come before Him in worship, not just in praise. As we're listening to the Word, as we're doing all these things together, all these activities, they're disciplines that we go through together as we assemble together for the Lord. So I'm going to pray before we get started this morning and welcome the presence of the Lord into this message. So Lord, we just open our hearts to You today. Lord, we come humbly before You today and we ask for Your presence to be here today. Holy Spirit, I ask that as we come before You and honor You in Your presence and honor one another as we come into worship today, Lord, I ask that You would fill this room, You would fill this space, You'd fill the rooms of those that are connected with us right now, Lord, and even those who will connect in the future, Lord, that You would just anoint this word, Lord, with Your purpose, with Your grace. Holy Spirit, I ask that You would speak words into our hearts that I'm not able to articulate, Lord. We thank You for how personal You are. We thank You that You are our teacher, that You are our friend, You are our paraclete. You come alongside us to build us up, to strengthen us, and to empower us for the ministry that You have appointed to us for this time and this season. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Hey, Seth, can you pass me my water bottle, please? It's right there on the floor. Thank you, son. Well, we've switched things around a little bit. I've done that for a purpose. We here at our Father's house, for decades, have been a people who have connected with the Lord in worship and His presence for a long time. There's a deep well here at our Father's house of people that have really plunged the depths of seeking the Lord's face in worship and coming and just soaking in His presence and welcoming Him here and building an atmosphere of honor, of glory, of respect for the Lord and for one another. And that's a bedrock that we here within our Father's house right now are standing upon. And as we move into the future, there's an inheritance there that we want to lay hold of as we continue to move forward. Honoring the Lord, honoring one another, is incredibly important to us as the body of Christ. Setting an atmosphere of honor, of grace, of respect is huge. And we've been preaching that for a good while now. When we come into the presence of the Lord here together, we have an opportunity to worship Him and lift Him up corporately. But it shouldn't be the only place that we're worshiping Him and lifting Him up. But when we do it, it should be intentional, it should be purposeful, and it should be focused. We don't want to cheapen something that the Lord highly values. And I want to start this off by saying, God doesn't need our worship and our praise. We don't add to him when we worship him and praise him. He is complete in himself. He's lack of confidence in who he is. He knows how great he is. He knows how good he is. He knows how much he loves us. He knows how faithful he is. But your soul needs your spirit to sing those things to God, to proclaim those things to God, to bring back to remembrance how good he has been to you, how faithful he has been to you, how good he's been across eternity, across the generations, how powerful he is, how wonderful he is, how loving he is, how magnificent he is. We become humbled as we come before the Lord in worship and praise to him. It's not about the goosebumps. It's not about the feelies. You may get them. That's wonderful. But that's not the point. The point is for you to submit and to surrender to the Lord and extol his virtues back to him. And you can do that anywhere. You can do that in your bedroom. You can do that in the shower. You can do that on a walk. You can be doing that at work. You can be doing that in your car. You can do that in your living room. Doesn't matter what time of the day, what hour. The Lord might even wake you up in the middle of the night so you can praise him. Because worship should be a part of our life. It should be a part of our walk, part of our discipline before the Lord, part of our relationship with him. Individually and corporately. So when we come together, when we gather together in person, we have the opportunity to lift him up and to praise together. You know, this year has been a year unlike any other that I've lived in, and probably most of us have lived in. Back in March, we had our final meeting here, our final gathering here, and then we went home, and we were doing virtual services for months before we were able to come outdoors and worship together again. And we as a leadership team labored figuring out how can we host this to try to make this work out so our people can be worshiping the Lord in the same song with the same songs as close in time as possible. I remember we received several messages from people. I'm trying to find the playlist, and when do we start? Because I want to make sure that I'm singing the same words and songs. That's not a religious thing. That's the heart of God's people saying, I want to be in unison with the rest of the body that I am related to as we go before the Lord and lift him up on high. And we bow down at his feet and proclaim again that he is Lord over all. That was a beautiful thing. How many different ways have we done worship over the past 8 to 9 months? I've lost count. But for a while it was, okay, well, let's get a YouTube up there. We'll stream it. Wait a second. There's copyright issues with that. Now we've got to pay money. Okay. Don't want to keep doing that. Maybe we can build a playlist and put it out there for folks so they can do that. It would really be nice if our folks could, our worship teams could record some songs that we could play and post that people could watch together. Well, that takes a whole logistics trail of trying to figure that out. Hey, in the meantime, look what Carrie Job and Cody Carnes did. They produced all this music and said, hey, you guys use these videos to do worship at your church. What a blessing that was to us. So we got that. Meanwhile, while that's all happening, the Mondays and the Romanos and others are behind the scene practicing and trying out how to record worship sets for us to basically build a virtual playlist. That takes time and energy and effort because you know the first couple times, that didn't sound quite right. Maybe we need to reorganize this a little bit. We need to get some other equipment to do this. We put a lot of effort into that because worship is so important. So that we could gather together online, as many people still are right now, to come before the Lord and worship together. And I remember when we first came to our outdoor service and we were able to finally sing together and hear our voices echoing off the leaves of the trees outside and to hear the crickets and the cicadas and people are moving their feet around looking for bugs and things like that. But it was important for us to be together, to hear one another as we sang. As we praise the Lord, as we lifted him up, that's a precious memory that many of us are going to have for decades to come. remember the first time we went outside and had an outdoor worship service together, and we got to praise the Lord together out underneath the leaves, underneath the blue sky. What a blessing. God wants us to come before Him in worship and in praise. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says this, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." He's talking here about, this is in the whole context of worrying about provision, worrying about what's going to happen next, worrying about all these things. God says, don't worry about those. Seek first My kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Because God is a good God. He's a good Father. And He wants us to be secure in who He is and His ability to care for us and meet every single need that we have. Part of that for us, as we've been talking about so many times this year, is refocusing our eyes back on the Lord. Constantly watching Him. Remember this? Not being drawn to the right or to the left, but focused on Him. Worship, praise, exaltation, magnification of the Lord puts Him right dead center in our focus. It minimizes what's going on around us in our minds, but most of all in our spirit, we recognize, wait a second, God's still got this. This problem seems really big, but wait a second. I remember when God brought me through a really big problem before. I remember in my Bible when He brought all these people through all these really big, challenging problems. I remember that He is great and He is good and He is faithful and He loves me and He cares for me. God, You're so good. And we get to focus on that and we get drawn right back to focusing on Him. I don't know about you, but during the past several months, for me and in my house, we have been tuning into the Lord in worship. And every time we're riding those emotional and mental and psychological roller coasters that are going on right now in 2020, we start worshiping and praising the Lord, and we're finding new songs, new things that are being written right now and being proclaimed to the heavenlies by God's people in the earth in this season, the most challenging season many of us have ever faced. And His people are crying out to Him about His goodness, about His faithfulness, about His love, about His mercy, about how we are another generation in the chain of generations that get to do that. Lifting Him up, magnifying Him. And you know what happens for us? We get grounded in that. I've been grounded so many times. When I start flying high and right, time to start. I'm going to pull on some YouTube videos and just start praising the Lord. I'm going to tune right back in because I'm on the wrong frequency right now. But this is easy. All I've got to do is focus on Him. And listen, worship is a choice. Worship is a choice. You have an option for how you're going to respond to everything that comes before you. And it doesn't matter what you're facing, whether it's good or bad, high or low, you can worship the Lord in all seasons. All seasons. And His Spirit will come and comfort you. He will uplift you. He will uphold you. And I'm way off my notes. So I'm going to dive in here. Psalm 100. This came up this week for me, and it just resonated with it so much. It says this, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." There's your identity. You are His. You are in His keep. The faithful shepherd is your shepherd. And then we have this. "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." That phrase about His love enduring forever, you will find that peppered throughout the Bible as His people remember who He is. His love endures forever. The word is often loving kindness. It's also mercy. The Lord's love endures forever. And you see time and time again, as his people have wandered and they remember who he is and they remember that they are his, this is what they proclaim. It's foundational to our relationship with God. Proclaiming back to him that his love endures forever, that his faithfulness continues through all generations. And we have to remember that he is good. Because when we face hardships, what's the first thing the enemy tries to tell us? Is he really good? I mean, if he's really good, why is this happening to you? Maybe he doesn't really love you. Maybe he doesn't really love you. Maybe he's not going to be faithful this time. Maybe this is when the last shoe drops and you're going to get squashed. No. Lord, you are good. Your love endures forever, and you are faithful through all generations. There's a link between praising and worshiping the Lord as we focus on him, we call upon him, and we become a place, like Pastor Lanny was talking about last week, where the presence of the Lord can light upon. We get to sense his presence, his manifest presence shows up, and in his presence there is what? Fullness of joy. When you are in that time of darkness, that dark night of your soul, in his presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Doesn't matter what season you're in. Joy isn't happy. Joy comes from a wellspring inside you, from the Lord in his presence. And it can completely change how you see whatever circumstance you are in. That's the circumstance. That's what's happening in this temporal moment. But you have the opportunity, because you are connected to the Spirit of God who emanates from eternity, to sense what is going on in eternity. And that is that the Lord is good, and he will show his goodness to you once again, because he is faithful, because he is good. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, we find this. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. He looses the bonds. He breaks the chains. He makes the way. He rescues us. He becomes our refuge, our fortress, our might. Doesn't matter what waves crash against him. They must submit to who he is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We want to be a people who host the manifest presence of the God, of the Lord. We have been that. I take a show of hands for everybody who's here in the room and everyone who's online. How many of you have experienced the transformative power of God in the midst of worship and in his presence? That's right. You might not be able to see that online, but that's most of the hands in this room. Yep. A couple times. It's happened a couple times. I was speaking with somebody recently, and they shared that their experience over the years has been when we have found ourselves in times where there's great conflict and confusion in chaos, and even challenges amongst the body, when we have come to the Lord in worship and praise, and his presence shows up, he can change our mindsets about what's going on. He can change our hearts towards one another. He can reveal something to us that is the missing piece in us not understanding why we've had the wrong perspective. He can open our hearts to one another. He can grow us. He can strengthen us. He can mature us. and nobody preached a word. That doesn't put me out of a job, by the way. We all have our gifts that we bring forward, and I want to say something about that. One of the reasons, and if you're just joining us right now online, you're probably thinking, what on earth is going on? Shouldn't we be finishing up worship right now? No, we haven't gotten to it yet. One of the things that happens for us is we come to a place where worship and praise corporately becomes negotiable. It's the appetizer before the meal. Maybe I'll pass on the app today. And I'll just take the meal. I would submit to you, in this season that we are in right now, I see worship as the meal. I've been encouraged by hearing people's words in this time. I've been encouraged by the anointing of the Lord that has been on the message, on the lips of His messengers in this moment. So don't get me wrong with that. But I have been grounded and rooted in the Lord as I have been worshiping Him and praising Him in this season. It has been meat at this time. It has been life. The Lord uses His means of grace. I get to prepare a word to bring for you, to share what the Lord is speaking to my heart in leading you, His sheep of this flock. But we also have other leaders who prepare all week the songs that they're going to bring forward for your heart to sing to God. Our worship leaders don't get up here and just wing it. Amen. They don't just get up here and wing it. They go before the Lord just as I and any other person who gets up here and speaks to ask the Lord to bless their gifts, bless their offerings. Lord, where is it that you want to go? What is on your heart for us to sing back to you, to echo back into you right now? Laying those songs out and seeing, what is it, Father, that you want to bring forward here? There's a boiling up that happens in that. The dross comes off the top. And the liquid gold comes to the surface, gets purified. And we have the opportunity to come together before the Lord and sing back to Him the praises that He has put on the hearts of His minstrels for your benefit. Listen, there's times where I've cried out to the Lord in worship individually on my own, and I don't feel like I'm breaking through whatever it is. But I've come into the presence of the Lord here with His people who can go there with me or help take me there. Can I get an amen? Amen. Worship is powerful. It is mighty. And I'm excited about this story to share with you. I got to share it once this week already. Katie and I shared it on our Wednesday YouTube and Facebook Live. I'd encourage you to join us there Wednesdays at noon on YouTube or Facebook. We do a live presentation there and share what the Lord has been placing on our hearts. Oftentimes we'll share what has been going on, if there's a prophetic words that have come forward. And it's just a really, really good time because it hits us right in the midweek and we have an opportunity to talk with a few of you. And I know there's some folks here that do tune into that regularly. And if you miss it for any reason, there's now a back catalog of those on our YouTube page and on our Facebook page. Go back and see what the Lord has been saying because there's so much good stuff in there. But this last week, we got to share the story of Paul and Silas in prison from Acts chapter 16. So we're going to go there right now. This is one of my favorite stories about how powerful worship is and what can happen in it. So this takes place after Paul and Silas have been followed around by the slave girl who's the fortune teller, who's telling everybody about how these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved And she followed them around and kept following them around until finally Paul was really annoyed with her and cast the demon out of her. I've read that so many times. I have a hard time picturing what this must have been like. But at the end of it, he recognized what it was. It was a dark spirit that was coming there to mess with them, and he was annoyed, and so he cast it out. And she couldn't tell fortunes anymore. This becomes an economic problem for her owners. They don't like this. So starting here in verse 19, we have this. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." And I'm not making money anymore. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So let's see. God has sent his messengers to this location to preach the gospel, to magnify his name, to glorify his name, and bring people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And as they go, they're being tormented by some foul spirit, so they take authority of it over it and cast it out. And we have an economic change that happens now within that city. And the response to this economic change is to go and throw these men into prison. Not just to throw them into prison, but to beat them severely, to flog them, to attack them and attack their body. It's a pretty big deal. See, when you poke darkness in the eye, it doesn't like it. But God is greater. I'm going to take a pause here and bring us into my other favorite story about the power of praise and worship. Because surely Paul and Silas knew about this story. And this happens in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is the story of Jehoshaphat and the army of Judah worshiping their way into victory. I shared this about 2 years ago around this time of the year because I was preaching about thanksgiving, thankfulness, and the power of worship. So we're going to refresh that because we need to remember these things. So this has happened after Jehoshaphat, who is a new king in Judah, who has aligned himself with the purposes of God. I look forward to seeing you too. Jehoshaphat, whose father had turned away from the Lord, had his heart inclined upon the Lord, had his heart focused on him. And what he worked to do, what he labored to do, was take down the high places and return the people of Judah to being focused upon God. He sent prophets throughout the land to teach the word of God. They had the book of the law, and they would go and they would teach the people throughout Judah. He did some incredible things. But then he intermarries with Ahab's family, because at this point, Judah and Israel are split. And in that alignment, ends up going with Ahab into battle with the king of Aram. And the king of Aram wants to kill Ahab. And so he tells his men, "Don't fight anybody else, go kill the king of Israel." Well, Ahab decides to be deceitful and disguise himself so nobody can find out who he is, so he can fight. And what ends up happening is the fire gets drawn towards Jehoshaphat because they see a king and they start firing at him. Jehoshaphat cries out to the Lord for help. And help comes. People stop looking at him and firing at him. And some random guy takes a random shot and an arrow pierces Ahab between his breastplate and the scale armor. This is backstory, okay? God basically tells Jehoshaphat coming out of that, "Why are you aligning yourself with evil? I'm going to bring judgment in this situation." And now we come here to 2 Chronicles 20. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. And so he gets a message that there's a vast army that's coming after him from Edom, and they're on their way, a bigger army than Jehoshaphat is able to overtake. Now, mind you, because Jehoshaphat had turned the people's hearts to the Lord had been blessing them. He had built up an army there. He had been pouring out blessings and riches to them. But what ends up happening is he's about to become overwhelmed by these three armies that are coming against him, and he realizes it. So let's start here in verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and I will cry and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, what? Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. This is that same message that is peppered throughout Scripture as his people remember who they are and remember who he is. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder, it took 3 days to collect it. Just think about that. It took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Baraka means praise. It is the Valley of Praise. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem. Wait a second. In your presence is fullness of joy. Okay. Returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Pastor Jay, why are you reading so much? Because you need to know what is in the Word so that it can get in you, and you can hear it, and you can respond to the Lord and return those praises back to him. We need to be in the Word, folks. You need to be digging down deep in this. I like to read through Scriptures because you need to hear and know what the Scriptures say. Don't just look at the one verse. You got to know what's going on around it. You got to know the context. You need to know what's happening in there. You need to find those threads. Get your study Bibles out and find those threads that go. It's the root system underneath the surface of the Scripture, because all this stuff is tied together. That was our intermission in the story of Paul and Silas. Remember, these men know this story. So what happens? Back here into Acts chapter 16, picking up in verse 25 where we left off. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. wait, these guys were just beaten. They were stripped. They put these really dangerous fellows that cast out a demon from somebody in the inner cell of the prison because they're dangerous. And what are they doing? Praising. You know, sometimes we just think about, remember the time where Paul and Silas were in stocks in the prison and they started singing? Wait, these guys had been beaten. They had been flogged. They were there at midnight. They are up in the middle of the night. They are hurting physically. But what do they choose to do? They choose to pray and sing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Not just, hey, their door flew open and the chains fell off them. That'd be quite a miracle, right? No. Every door was opened and every chain came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." How many people would really care about the jailer in that situation? See, Paul and Silas were in the moment in Christ as they went through this entire thing. Because this story here, God intended to be written, to be passed on down through the generations so that you would hear the power of praise and worship and magnification of God. This was part of their mission. And they are in the moment, on mission, right now. So they see someone who's about to harm themselves, who has been their captor. Do not harm yourself. We are all here. Amazing. The jailer calls for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Hallelujah. This is part of the story. This is part of God's design. This isn't just circumstance. It's not just happenstance. Because there's a really interesting thread that happens here. What happens? We're at midnight. They sing and pray. People are listening because nothing else is happening at midnight. They're probably listening to what's being said. They're probably being encouraged by what's being said. They're probably interested in what's being said. And then, boom, earthquake happens, shakes everything. Earthquakes don't really break chains off of everybody, by the way. Right? Doors are open. Prison is broken in its foundation. And all these people are set free. Physically. Physically set free. But what's about to happen in the jailer's heart? Do you believe that he needed Jesus? Do you believe that he was in bondage to sin and death like everybody else across history? Absolutely. And what happens? What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized. You and your whole household will be saved. And they are. Their chains were broken. The foundation of that prison was shattered. And those prison doors were opened for all those people. Hallelujah. 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 You know, as we were sharing this on Wednesday, we were talking about they're there at the darkest part of the night. They're there at midnight, right? We think that's the darkest part of the night. And here they are crying out to the Lord. But then Katie shared this. They're there at the breaking of a new day. And what ushers in the change? Prayer and worship. I'm going to read the rest of the story because it's important. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men," the jailer told Paul. "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can go leave. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. Requesting them, "Please leave the city. Not get out. Thanks for coming." After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they were met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. I wanted to read that part to you because just like the story with Jehoshaphat, where they plundered the enemy for 3 days. I mean, that's relentless. There's an abundance of what the Lord is bringing forward in that. We see Paul and Silas not just saying, "Okay, well, we got freed from prison, now we're good to go." They called everything back into order in that and said, no, wait a second. We are the Lord's representatives here, and we have been mistreated. They're going to come, and they're going to escort us out. That is plundering, because things were set aright in that situation. A strong connection there. Now, Paul talks about these things, about the power of praise and worship in other places in the Scriptures. I'm going to read from Colossians, because it gives us context to know we are in Christ, and this is why we do what we do. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Listen, your identity is with him. That's why Paul and Silas could be there in the prison in the dark part of the night and be crying out to him and worshiping him and praising him and singing songs. I'm going to skip forward to verse 15 here. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." These men lived this out in what we just read. They knew who they were. They knew who they were serving. And they had an expectation that God was going to bring peace to the situation as they cried out to him in songs and psalms and prayer and connecting with that eternal perspective. Here we are in stocks, but we're seated in heavenly places with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right now. And so are you. If you're a follower of Christ, so are you. If you're not yet, so can you be. David, the great psalmist, wrote so many psalms, so many songs about praising the Lord. When we read through the Psalms, we find his despair. Psalm 145, a psalm of praise of David. "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Now listen to this multi-generational perspective right here. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works, tell the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. He continues to go on. But I love that. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. When we come together in corporate praise and worship, we are reminding ourselves, we're teaching others that God is good, He is faithful, His loving kindness endures forever. We are the generation that is on scene right now. We're made up of many natural generations here right now. We have chains that have gone through, we have links in the chain that have gone through much of their lives. And they're a testimony of what God is doing. We have those that are in the midst right now, learning to walk in the Lord. We've got a few scars on their wrists, a few up underneath their sleeves, but they still have much ahead of them. And we have those that are coming up that are the next link in the chain, that are learning now what it means to follow the Lord. They're hearing stories for the first time. They're considering what God has maybe done for them. They don't even know yet what He's called them to. We're all on scene right now. And we have the opportunity together to come before Him in praise and worship. Hear David again, Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with a clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As the final psalm, the 150 psalms in your Bible. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We have the honor and the privilege to come before the Lord every Sunday morning, corporately, with one another, to resound with what the Spirit has put on the heart of our worship leaders, to sing back to our Creator, to sing back to our Father, to uplift and strengthen one another, to host His presence. As we honor Him, we glorify Him together. Let's have our eyes wide open about that. We're not just people coming together to sing songs. It's not about the style of the music that's being played. It's about the content of our hearts as we bring them before the Lord. It's about us as His body, the koinonia, being drawn together in assembly, coming before Him in unity, speaking the same things and praising the same things to Him, our Father. So as we come back into the building now, as we're coming back into this space, we're still limited on how many people we can have here. But for those of us who are in this building and for those of us who are connecting in real time online, I encourage all of us to come prepared on Sunday morning. Come on time. Be ready to praise the Lord because we have the opportunity to do so. Many of us have been months not even being able to do that. We can feel the value in a different way right now. So this morning, we're going to be moving into praise and worship. I wanted to preach about praise and worship and give us a proper context for it as we're coming into it right now. We're I'd say we're resetting here, but I'd also say we're setting. We've had so much time apart. We're building up a new foundation in this recent time upon the foundations that have been laid. But we have opportunity right now to begin to set the trajectory of what praise and worship is going to be in this house moving forward as we're able to gather together here. And online, you're not left apart from that. You have the ability to connect by the Spirit right now with what is taking place in God's body, whether here in person or spread across this county and even to the ends of the earth, because we have people who watch us from other countries. If you're joining us, thank you. God bless you. At the beginning of the year, before COVID happened, I was sharing with many of you in a sermon, I can't remember if it was January or February, somewhere in that time frame, about something that the Lord had put on Katie and I's heart over a year before that. And that was a new gathering that we were starting to initiate and build foundations for called The Pursuit. You remember that? If you haven't been here long, we've had the watch of the Lord every Friday night for years before our Encounter Sunday. So the first Friday of the month, or the first Friday before the first Sunday of the month, people have been coming, worshiping the Lord, prophesying, laying the groundwork, plowing the ground for our Sunday mornings. God has been paying attention to that. That's something that has been part of our DNA here for a long time, and we have been reaping the benefit of those that have been doing that. So if you've participated in that, I just want to say thank you right now, because those are the things that often go unseen, but they become felt in our experience together. The next generation of this is called The Pursuit. There's an active, dynamic activity when you're pursuing God. It doesn't diminish a watch, but God is taking us into a place where we are pursuing Him. We are pursuing His presence. We keep looking to find Him. We keep going where He's calling us to go. We started gathering some folks in our home back when we could still do that to help lay the groundwork for this. We'd play YouTube videos and we'd just sit there for an hour, hour and a half and just worship the Lord and soak in His presence and see what He was speaking to us, record what was going on there, with the intent of bringing that here into the building. And we were going to do that in March. And then March happened. And in recent times, the Lord has been stirring me on that again. It's time to bring Him back. It's time to do this. It's time to pull the trigger on this. For us just to come and worship Him and praise Him, apart from a Sunday morning. So this Saturday night, 6 p.m., we're going to have our first Pursuit night here, right here in this sanctuary. We have tickets for 50 people available up on Eventbrite right now. One of the ministries that Katie and I and others have connected with in this time that has been writing new music, they just keep releasing it at the right moments, and has been resonating with our spirits and lifting us up in those wobblings that we're doing along through this time, is Maverick City Music. It's a worship collective that is, I just got to tell you, they are resonating with the sound and the spirit right now. It is exactly what I'm talking about here this morning. Magnifying the Lord, worshiping Him, praising Him, lifting Him up, declaring and proclaiming His faithfulness through the generations. And we keep connecting with this stuff. So we're going to have a Pursuit night. YouTube videos of Maverick City Music with the songs that have been resonating with us in this season. And we want to invite you to come and worship with us as we just enter into the presence of the Lord and just sing His praises back to Him together. 6 p.m. It's going to go about an hour to an hour and a half. It's been fun building this worship set. I'm looking forward to it and sharing it with you guys. We're going to have the worship set will be available, the playlist online for those who can't come. You can play it at the same time with us. You can play it whenever you want. It's just a very good set. And the words that are coming out of this I believe is a new sound in worship that's coming forward in this season. I'd encourage you. We are not going to be streaming it because, like I said earlier, copyright issues with us doing that. So you'll be able to connect with that on your own, on your cell phone, on your laptop, whatever, through YouTube. And I would encourage you to do that. But if you can at all do so, please be here with us because it's going to be a good time in worship before the Lord. Now, we're going to be moving into worship. We've preached about it. We've shared about it. Pastor Dan's going to come, and he's going to share communion with us and lead us in communion. And then Pete and his team are going to come forward, and they're going to lead us into worship this morning. I would encourage all of us this morning to recall what we have spoken about here and remember that we have the privilege to worship the Lord and praise him this morning. Pastor Dan, will you please come?